everyone, welcome to Chat and Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and today we have with us James Brown.
Hello.
We have Lee Stackpool.
Hello.
And today is our episode where we talk about what we've been watching. And it's been a long time, so we should have loads to talk about. I'm going to start with James Brown.
Do you know what, though? We should have loads to talk about, but I almost feel like because it's been that long, I forgot everything.
Yeah. Does that mean you can kind of, it's one of their chances. We're spoiled a little bit, aren't we, with what's been else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we spoke about this before, just there's too much access to everything. There's so much, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about, I wanted to start, if possible, by talking about the latest docu-film about the original Ronaldo, R9, The Phenomenon, it was called.
Yeah. What was this on?
It was on, I think it's a DAZN special, but it was on the iPlayer. It was absolutely, like, growing up as a kid, I was a massive, massive fan of R9. Probably my two favourite players of all time are Maldini and R9.
Hang on, are we getting away with calling them R9?
Yeah.
Never called them that.
Yeah. I think the reason why we call them R9, so Ronaldo, because he's the original Ronaldo, yeah, isn't he? The reason we call him R9 is because I think on his boots, I had the boots. He used to have on all the stuff. It was R9, wasn't it? That was his brand. His brand was R9. Yeah. And then no one ever called him R9, but then it was when Cristiano Ronaldo come about. And then
he was R7, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was R7, yeah, but he was CR7.
CR7.
Yeah, he was, CR7, but then he sort of, because of the phenomenon that became a Cristiano Ronaldo as well, because I think it was always Ronaldo and Cristiano Ronaldo, really.
Yeah.
But then Cristiano Ronaldo became Ronaldo, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused here. But yeah, so the original Ronaldo anyway, Brazilian Ronaldo, he was just, growing up as a kid, he was just everything. I remember being like 7, 8, watching him in them first World Cup, and I remember just being absolutely blown away by the Brazilians. Always did. I always remember, like, there was always this sense, and I think probably football's caught up with the Brazilians now, but when we were, it's probably going to be the same for you growing up, and then when you'd first see, like, the Brazilian national team play, they were like wizards or something. You'd never seen people play football like that, like the way the skills, the technique, the culture, just everything about them, they were like a myth. I remember growing up, I mean, my dad and that'd be like, oh, wait till you see Brazil and all that. It was like always a big hype, and then when you did watch them, you were like, oh my god, these are so good.
I'm watching something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, him in general, just the step overs and the skills and the pace, the power, he had everything. He had absolutely everything. So he was just my idol. I had every shirt from the age of like 7 till like he retired. I had every shirt, every club he played for, every national shirt with number 9 Ronaldo, apart from when he was number 11 at one point at Real Madrid. It was a bit weird, but then he changed 9.
Yeah.
I just absolutely loved him. And I watched the documentary, and it sort of gives you like his early career. It follows that, and then it follows you up to the 98 World Cup.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know about the 98 World Cup, he was the best player on the planet.
Yeah.
And he was just the first football poster boy, really. And then basically the mysterious cup final happens, where he was absolutely dreadful in the final.
Yeah.
Before the game, he wasn't named in the starting 11. Yeah. Then he did play. He wasn't meant to play, but then he did play.
And who was the sponsor again? You reckon it was
Nike?
Yeah.
The famous conspiracy theory. They said that Nike, if it wasn't for Nike being the poster boy for Nike, he wouldn't have played. He probably shouldn't have played.
Yeah.
So what came down was loads. I remember the conspiracy theories was like, yet one of them was like Nike forced him to play. One of them was that he'd been drugged. Another one was that he was like an alien. There was it was so
there was
many
everything,
because
wasn't
he was that good. People were like coming up with loads of stuff about him, but the reality, he revealed it anyway. He'd had a seizure on the afternoon of the game.
Yeah,
probably shouldn't have played, really. And then one of the players, Leonardo, went up to him and said, "Listen, not after they come around," said he'd like passed out, had a seizure for 3 minutes. And then he woke up and like 10 people were surrounded him. He was like, "What's going on?" And all, it was out of it. Felt like he'd been run over by a truck, he said. And Leonardo, like one of the senior players, went up to him and said, "Listen, you know, you're not going to play," and all that. And he went, "Listen, with the greatest respect, if I pass these medical tests, I'm playing. It's the World Cup final." Do you know what I mean? So that's why he wasn't named in the original starting 11, because the starting 11 comes out an hour before, doesn't it? And he wasn't. And then, like, literally, Brazil didn't even warm up, did they? I remember, didn't even come up for a warm up. And then he did eventually play.
It was the weirdest World Cup final.
It was strange. And then he did eventually play, and in Ronaldo-esque fashion, he was dreadful.
I can't remember him doing anything.
No, didn't.
It was appalling. Yeah. There was a big hype, and then but I think the Brazilians were like, "Oh God, he can play. Thankfully, he can play." And then he
didn't. It was Zidane, wasn't it?
Zidane
was just
Zidane. Zidane scored two headers, I think.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so that was it really. But then it follows at that, and then it was about how he had his career. He had bad injuries, got bad from worse. I think his knee popped out of place. He had to get a knee surgery. Honestly, his career was just over at one point, just through injuries. I think he missed 2 years through injury, and bad knee injuries like patella tears and all that. And then he come back in 2002 after his injuries, and then he won the World Cup. It was like a redemption story, basically. That's what they follow.
Yeah,
how he does win, and he was playing the tournament, got the golden boot. And he was amazing, wasn't he, in that as well. And he shouldn't have been playing. He should have been retired. At that point, at 24 years of age, such a young man.
After the knee problems as well.
He said he should have been finished. He said he should have retired, and he just wouldn't. It was just about his mental strength. He just wouldn't give up and showed that resilience. And it followed him. And then it sort of didn't show his Real Madrid career then. Because straight after that, he joined Real Madrid. He left Inter, joined Real Madrid, and he had a great career at Real. And had another World Cup after that. But it didn't show that. It literally just showed the redemption story, basically.
That little bit.
Yeah. But any football fans, any sport fans, just anyone who likes a redemption story, really. Watch it.
Ready for the World Cup as well.
Yeah. That's why they're doing it, aren't they? Because there's a few Italian 90 ones.
I want to watch the Maradona one about his time at Napoli.
Well, I've seen it.
Because it's meant to be that. I've seen it. And I thought that looks right up my street. Because, I mean, I've made no secret of the fact that I don't really like it heavily invested in the footy, but I do love a good sports documentary.
Yeah.
And he was one of them players, wasn't he, Diego Maradona? Yeah. That was like a god.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And as well as having just the rock and roll lifestyle as well.
Yeah,
so that documentary's been on my... It's one of them. I keep trying to find a good stream of it. But I don't want to pay for it because I'm a bit tight.
Yeah, good
honesty. I would the Maradona one's brilliant. Yeah. I've seen that. It's really good.
Yeah.
I think I watched it on Christmas Eve.
I think me and watched it at the same time.
Yeah, we did.
Isn't it the same director who done like the Amy?
Senna one.
They are good films, aren't they? That Ayrton Senna one's good. I have seen it, but I don't remember much about it. But
I love that, despite the fact that I've never watched the full Formula One thing. I couldn't tell you anything really about it, apart from Michael Schumacher and Damon Hill. Yeah. Don't know who's doing anything at the moment.
I don't know about F1. It's always something that I wish I sort of got into, really, because, you know, I sort of feel like I'm missing out. Like my father-in-law always, like I remember, something really good happened last year with Hamilton and the other fella. I don't even know how to say his name because you get it wrong. Is it Verstappen or something?
It might be, yeah.
Right, and apparently he was like one of the best F1 like years ever. The best I'd come round, and I was just like, great. So I was like, something out like a new one, I never had a clue.
I think it's Hamilton that puts me off, really. I don't know why I don't like him. I don't know why.
He's a nice guy.
No, I think it's
his tax avoidance.
Do you know what I think it was? I think it was their advert tonight where he was like, because he signed up for BP or someone, and he. And they're doing adverts where they're going in talking about climate change in schools, and I'm like, you're working for the company, like probably responsible for 90% of it.
Your job is just adding to it.
No, he does. He gets a lot of bad press. He gets that, and there was loads of stuff about tax avoidance, wasn't
there?
Because he moved, as soon as he started earning big money, he moved over to Switzerland or something.
He did. Done it, Gary Barlow.
Allegedly, obviously, you've got to say that, but that's why a lot of people don't seem to like him.
We're going back to Ayrton Senna there. I remember when he crashed and died. Like, I remember it was a Sunday. We were going to Southport, like having a day off or whatever. I can't remember what the race was, but you used to always watch it. It's on BBC Two, so I've it on and watch it. Like, not like sitting there just watching it, but having it on.
Mm.
I remember him crashing, like, and it being a baddie. And like when we went out, and then when he came back, we'd heard he'd died. Like, it was crazy, But great, incredible driver in Mooney as well.
Yeah,
like, he was one of legends.
Big fan, you know. I know.
Brazilian Mooney as well.
Was he Brazilian as well?
He was another one of them Brazilian lads from the slums. Who just loved sport just for sport, and he didn't like the politics. I think that's why I liked that documentary, even though I didn't precisely know what was going on in regards to how you win a Formula One race. I still don't.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the politics come into it, and he wanted to just basically like go karting and stuff.
There's a lot, it's really interesting. I always think with South Americans in sport in general, they're just absolutely brilliant, aren't they? And like, they don't like the glitz and glamour. They're not like, even doesn't matter. Like, I always think, for example, like Luis Suarez, for example, right? Even like up until like now, I know he's still playing, isn't he? And it just means everything to them. Like the sport,
the winning,
culture of winning. Like, you look Ronaldo, like R9 or the original Ronaldo, to look at him, he hated like the know, the glitz and glamour, even though he was obviously getting the money for it and all that, he hated him. Do you reckon that was a contributing factor why he had the seizure? Because he's just, it was too much for him, bit of a nervous breakdown. But the South Americans, they really are, like, they're really driven by the sport, and that's why it's interesting. They said Senna was Brazilian as well, to go like full circle, but they really are, that, you know, it's just, yeah, there's just something in South America,
the brilliant culture.
Yeah, the brilliant, which I don't think we quite have it in England. We're not, you know, we're very much like, there's a lot of, in our culture, we're like happy being second or third. Yeah. Whereas these South Americans,
trying your best.
Yeah, the South Americans want to be the best at everything, and it means everything to them. You see when they lose a game, when they get substituted, when they, you know, miss a save, whatever sport it is.
They've got that little bit of like nastiness about them, like sport and nastiness.
Because they fought all the lives for everything. Yeah. So they fought to be educated. They fought for the food. They fought for the drink. So it's like, yeah, they say, I've got it now, I'm gonna fight for it, and that comes into them in every sport, really. And I think there's definitely something different.
They don't have the WAG culture, do they?
No.
They don't have any of that.
Yeah. Is anyone gonna watch this? What was it? WAG of the Christie. They're doing a program about it.
I'm
looking forward to seeing this. They've
done a theatre production of it as well.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they did. And I heard it on the radio, they've done to try and encourage people to the theatre. They thought, well, you know, theatre's always supposed to be topical, and that's fine. So they've done an acted bit of the courtroom drama in the theatre. And
Rooney, innit?
They're going to have someone playing Rooney. Don't know who they got to play him.
Boy George said the other day, and I'm a celebrity, by the way, the reason he had a hair transplant was because of Wayne Rooney. Boy George,
was he?
Boy George is like massive, isn't he? And he said he read the reason I had it because of Wayne Rooney.
Because maybe we've got one. Yeah. And worked. Yeah. Good on. Good stuff. All right, Lee, what have you got for us?
Okay, do you know what? I've got to keep it like. I'm a fan of his work, and it's Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I've made
the
have you watched it as well?
Yeah, well, I've watched
I went on about this for ages, and was sharing like memes. Because Guillermo del Toro, if you don't know him, he always involves himself in like cool horror. Like he's notable for his like his Pan's Labyrinth, you know what I mean? Really sinister looking, real monsters, no CGI. Doesn't like CGI. He likes physical monsters, building them, and he builds some horrific stuff. I mentioned them because I played that Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding. On the PS5, took me a while, and it's Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen's in it, Lea Seydoux, who was in Bond film. It had one of the most insane casts. Guillermo del Toro's in it, was part of the horror influence, and also acts in it. So I was kind of excited for his Cabinet of Curiosities, which a week before Halloween, I think.
Just before.
So he directs 2 of the 8 episodes. It's his show, but it's an anthology show.
He introduces
each episode, and it's kind of like, you know, the Outer Limits, Twilight Zone.
That
sort of old way of introducing things. And then he either directs this episode, or he introduces whoever directs it for him.
Yeah.
And it's full of just like paranormal, supernatural, sci-fi monsters that's just like gruesome.
The rats.
Yeah. The Rat King is possibly one of the best episodes, borrowed on a H.P. Lovecraft writing, I think. And there's another one which is... Oh, no, yeah, it's all H.P. Lovecraft because there's a Cthulhu medallion in it. Never mentions it, but if you're an H.P. Lovecraft fan, you'll be like, oh, that's that sensical dragon thing.
You'll be onto it,
There's another one. The opening one is...
The allotment, not the storage.
Yeah, the storage shed. And there's demons and books and... aliens. And my favourite one, no, without spoiling, it's one of the last ones.
Yeah, I want to see this.
It's one of the last ones. I think it's episode 7. And you'll recognise all the actors in it. There's a girl who was in, she was in season, one of the last seasons of Dexter, as the son, the daughter of someone. And she also popped up as Death in the television show Lucifer. Neil Gaiman, she's in it as an astrophysicist. There's another guy in it who's like a rock star, someone else is a director, someone else is an architect, and they all get this invitation to go to this famous, obscure fella's house who's like world famous but reclusive, and he's got something to show them. Mm-hmm. But most of the episodes, him, like, he gives them this like priceless whiskey from this Japanese distillery that survived like the Second World War, so they're drinking that. Then they start doing drugs, and he's just gabbing to them, and it's just mental. Mm. And then he shows them this like thing,
okay,
that leads to something happening. But it's brilliant as an episode. It's just phenomenal to watch from the soundtrack.
Do you think he's going to do a second series?
Yeah, he needs to, because it's just brilliant. The Rat King,
highly rated. I haven't seen any at all. It's been highly rated.
I watched The Rat King again. That Robbie's just mentioned last night, and I was like,
absolutely grim.
Wow. Yeah. It's like, in his head, in Guillermo del Toro's head, when he thinks of these
where
things.
Where is he coming up with all this?
He must think, what's the most horrific, claustrophobic situation could put someone in? You literally like got your hand over your face.
Yeah, I think Carl would be surprised that I like it, and the reason why, come on, get it right, because the CGI, because it's not very good, is it, like the effects and that,
yeah,
like the rats and that don't look like, you know, anyway, not great. It's boss, but the CGI is not great, because yeah, obviously the reasons you use there, or like the effects aren't great. So that's why I think you would think I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
But it's like the opposite.
It's proper old school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I love the theme tune and everything. The theme tune, Bob.
It's just everything about it is really good.
Gets all those feels, like. Yeah. Like, you get a little bit of, if you remember, like from like my day, like Goosebumps TV series.
Yeah.
Or Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, you're getting some of those vibes with it as well.
Yeah. Oh, good.
It is good. Honestly, it's really, really good. Like.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'll have to get that a
couple. Yeah. You mentioned that.
Yeah. The last one probably is the least jump scare one.
Mm.
It finishes on like sort of an emotive one. There's another good one, which is, I think it's the one after The Rat King, which is all about consumerism and beauty. And someone imagines someone talking to her through the telly to buy some cosmetic things.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's about how, you know, television basically just there to make you feel ugly. Mm. And social media is not in it, because you get the impression it's set sort of like in the 70s, 80s.
But to be honest,
still a very relevant one. And you can probably get away with showing this like in a PSHE lesson, this show. As part of something on beauty and body image.
And
it's brilliant.
Yeah, good. And that's
definitely
on Netflix, isn't it?
Definitely one you should watch, Carl.
I didn't mean to watch it and just didn't get around to it because I had too much to watch and whatever. But
yeah, binge worthy, so you could probably get a couple of episodes in tonight, you know.
Yeah.
Easy.
Awesome. Well, I'm out tonight, so I won't be watching tonight. But all right. Well, I've got a few things I've watched. So I'll start off with one. I've only half watched it, and I was telling you about it the other day, but The Last Days of American Crime. So it's got actors I've never even heard of, but it basically tells a story of America's crime has just got too much out of hand. So the government have made this signal that when this signal goes on, if you commit a crime, like you break the law, it makes you feel sick and stop you doing it, basically. So it's basically the end of crime. So there's like sort of, which what's quite clever about it is that's quite a clever idea. And it tells like sort of two sides of the story. So you've got this sort of criminal who's a bank robber who's caught up in it. And his brother's being killed, and we think it's to do with that signal. And the other side of it is the cop side. So the cops, they're basically going to be out of the job, so they're sort of fighting against it. Or you can take an implant and the signal won't affect you if you're a cop. So I started watching it, and it was just all right. And I was like, I'm just dead bored watching it. And it's just, why am I watching this? It's just, there was nothing about it at all. You know, the main character hardly speaks. He hardly says anything. And he's just like, well, and then people are talking to him, and then like he's there's this girl who like is part of this gang who he starts getting in with, and he joins partner with this gangster, and like then them two fall in love, and it's like, well, why though? Because he just doesn't say anything. He's just like, there's nothing about him.
See, I think what you think of this, I think, because me and you had a chat about this the other day.
Yeah.
I think you think this could be really good. The concept is good, but it's not good.
Execution is awful.
Yeah, that's the word.
I said the other day to you, then I said, like, I was watching it for ages, and then I went to bed, so I turned it off and went to bed, and I was going to watch it again the next day, and I thought, oh, it must be near the end now, because I've been watching it for ages. I was only 40 minutes in, and it was just dead boring and dead long, and it's on for 2.5 hours or something like that.
Never a good sign, though. Yeah. What is it on IMDb?
This is the first time I've looked at it, and this is going to make you laugh. It's 3.7. And you know what, I'm like, yeah, fucking deserves that.
Do you know what? You couldn't write that. Do you know what though? That is, See, this is the whole thing. Me and Richard have this debate so often, right? So I have to IMDb something before I watch it now.
Oh, really?
Like, I have to.
Yeah.
Whereas Richard doesn't agree with IMDb now because he thinks they give it... And I do agree with some of the stuff, like... He thinks like the ratings are never accurate, but I think when you see something and it's got 3.7, I think there's normally a reason. There's normally a reason, why isn't
it? Yeah, and it does. I mean, like,
that's the only time you've looked.
That's the only time I've looked. Yeah, the first time I've just looked at it now on IMDb.
Would you normally look at IMDb?
Not before, and no.
Don't you?
No.
So you look after?
Yeah. Right. I wonder what that got. Cause I try not to watch the views of anything as well, like, unless I've seen it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like when, like, the Marvel films. So, yeah. Like Black Panther, I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews, but mostly positive.
Mm.
Like, that's out now, Wakanda Forever.
Mm. I've heard brilliant things about
it. Oh, there you go then. So I know nothing about it, apart from a few bits that you
The most you recent see. Thing I heard, was it, well, that doesn't give anything away, by the way, and it means nothing to me, but it's good for you, is that, obviously a lot of people are saying Top Gun is the film of the year.
Yeah.
So the quote I read was, Top Gun has finally been trumped.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's got a... So bit of gun for its money, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I read. So just give it, it beat it basically right at the end. You'd be cutting, wouldn't you? Come on. It's close, but yeah, apparently.
Tom sitting in his
face. Tom would be gutted, yeah.
In his bath of cash or something.
Know, yeah. Yeah, but didn't he like gross over $1 billion or something for that? Or something?
Did
something
he?
Mad come out.
Madness.
Yeah.
It deserved it. It was a great film.
It was a great film. Like,
yeah,
but,
it was.
Yeah, but that's
not. So, like, no, this is not. And it's on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix, like, production, original, whatever. Yeah, don't bother. Do not bother. It's.
What's your opinion on Netflix original films?
I haven't seen one that's... Well, apart from The Irishman, which I loved, I haven't seen one which is, like, amazing. That's the only one. That's the only one. Because what else is the... Oh, I watched Annihilation. I think that's one, isn't it? That was quite good. I was quite surprised about that. So that's that... what's the name? What's the girl's name in it? I can't remember her name. But basically, like, there's, like, this... force field that just appears on the earth, and it's expanding, but anytime anyone goes in, they just disappear and never come back out, so it sort of like rewrites reality within it. And it was dead good. Yeah, I think when we were talking about like monsters on one of our shows,
it was
on the list, wasn't it? The monster, the bear. And I can see why, like, it was scary. It was good, like, but apart from that, like, that and The Irishman,
see, because I feel like The Irishman sort of set the tone. I thought that was a really good benchmark for them to base off, to build from. They've had The Irishman, it was nominated for all these awards, I don't know how much it won, but it was nominated for everything, wasn't it? And, you know, all the actors in it, and I thought, yeah, this could set these up, this now for a great, you know, Netflix movie franchise, not franchise, not the word, or...
No, but like, a studio or whatever. I know what you mean.
Something like that, and it just never, I don't think there's been anything of that level yet.
No.
And they've not really got the actors in. Like, I remember there's a few where they get a few of the big actors in. But they don't tend to even get the big actors in. They're, like, quite low budget, aren't they?
What about that one? Was it Red Notice, was it, or something? And it had Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on about. Yeah.
That was a Netflix one. That was meant to be alright, wasn't it?
I was thinking of Ryan Reynolds then when you said it. So it must be that.
Yeah.
But he struggled, really. Like, I don't know, it seemed very much at times like the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, them rubbish films that are on, like, do you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, like, do you know what does my head about Netflix? If something's on Netflix, everyone will watch it.
Yeah.
And even if it's, like...
Yeah, rubbish.
Yeah, they'll still watch it. Like, I'm not saying it was rubbish, but the Jeremy Dahmer... Is it that right?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
That series, right? And I'm not saying it's rubbish, but everyone watched it at the same time. And it was like, well, would you have watched that? It was on BBC One or Channel 5.
People wouldn't have.
You know, even if it was brilliant and it was on Channel 5, would you watch it? No, you wouldn't. It's only because it's on Netflix. And I was like, it's just one of them.
And Netflix lured in with the top in the UK today, or top in your area, or top trending. People, I'll be honest, myself included, I fall for them. And then I'm watching them like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Why am I watching that?
Yeah.
Why am I watching it for?
But that's the thing. Like, does that them films, like, but Lorna likes these ones, have you seen, like, 365 Days or whatever?
Yeah.
They're terrible films, but there's, like, three of them on Netflix, and, like, they just keep making them because they're successful.
But do you know what? I will say one thing, and I say it all the time, and I'll stand by it. Prime is terrible.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I still pay for it, and you're probably going, Richard would definitely say, why are you still paying for it? Right? Because I have said this since it's come out. right? It is terrible. Honestly, mate, there's hardly anything on it. The last thing I watched on it, other than like when the footy's on it, the last thing I watched on it was probably the James May around it. James May, you know, used to be in Top Gear.
Oh yeah.
When he travels around Italy.
Oh yeah.
I watched that. But I don't use it, mate. I just don't use it, and I'm paying, what is it, like $8.99 a month?
£80 a year or something, isn't it?
Yeah,
£80. I mean,
quid.
To be fair, I do watch things on it.
Do you?
Yeah. So I watched it over Halloween for the horror films. There's quite a few good horror films on there. Like, you know, like the old ones, the old retro ones. But yeah, otherwise it's like the Amazon original stuff. There's nothing there that sort of sticks out. I know they've got Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. That's their big one, isn't it?
Picard, like no Star Trek Picard. Yeah. That was good. But that's if you're into it, Star Trek, isn't it? The Boys is good.
Yeah, well that's the big one, isn't it? Yeah. That's the one where like everyone always says to me, if you watch The Boys, you'll know you'd love it.
It's very good.
So that's one, but I can never, I don't know, I just feel like, because I like Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't get rid of Disney Plus. I like it. I use it. Annabella uses it.
Yeah.
Beck uses it because it's got all like the Kardashians on it now, hasn't it? Beck watches it. So we get our use out of it. So the money we pay for that, it pays itself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Netflix obviously pays for itself because everyone just naturally gravitates to Netflix. But Prime, we don't use it.
I know. There's not loads on there. I mean, they've got some decent film, like the new Candyman's on there. Like, no,
is it?
From last year, yeah.
Oh, and nice. I've still not seen it.
I haven't seen it myself. Snake, didn't you watch it? I don't went to
see it. No, it was Alan. Alan went to see it. I didn't go, did I?
Yeah. They've got the newest G.I. Joe film, like the Snake Eyes, which was meant to be all right as well. Just having a quick look now. They're like the exclusive ones, but then like, yeah, there's nothing that sticks out really.
It's the big one. The big one's Christmas, isn't it? Because what annoys me, and it often annoys me, is there be certain Christmas films you can get on like platform services all year round, and it comes to Christmas and they take them off.
Yeah,
and it's like,
pisses me off.
Like, well, do you know Sky's bad for that? Sky, because we have Sky as well, so we have pretty much all of them there. We need to get rid of some of them. We have the like Sky Cinema, but you can get like on demand. So they have like every film, but then around Christmas time, so let's say for example, I think it was The Holiday I was on for ages ago, and it just got took off Netflix. I thought, oh, I'll just get it on Sky, and then Sky had took it off.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Do you know the other thing as well though? Like now you got like Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
A load of things have gone to Paramount. Yeah. So like for the kids, like R. Thomas and that, SpongeBob SquarePants was on Prime. Mm. It's been on there for years, absolute years.
Took it off.
Gone now because they own it, like Paramount own it. So it's on Paramount Plus now. Not paying.
Well, Paramount, we get it free with our telly.
Oh, you get it with the Sky,
don't you? Sky, but yeah. I get your point. A Paramount, I know they said that, I like them, the good band. Paramount on another, on a research? I feel like they are.
What do you mean, because, like the company?
Yeah, yeah, because Paramount were massive. They can, like, obviously the classic film, Godfather's the biggest one, and all that. Loads in the past, in like the 70s and 80s, that Paramount were just... Yeah. And then Paramount didn't really produce anything. One other thing off the top of my head I can think about was, what was the scary film?
Insidious?
No, Paranormal Activity.
Oh,
that was Paramount, wasn't
was it?
It? Yeah, but like...
Well, they've done all the Transformers films as well.
Did they?
So they're making the money, like, you know what I mean?
But they're not as often as like the usual suspects, are they?
Can't say I noticed, yeah.
But now they're back.
Oh, yeah. But they own Nickelodeon and all that, don't they? That's why it's...
Do they?
Yeah. So all like Nickelodeon stuff
on
there.
Oh, so that's why it's all on there.
That's why they're like SpongeBob's on there and all them. So Paw Patrol will be next.
If Annabelle likes
that, you know what I mean?
Have you seen, by the way, have you seen the film, speaking of Paramount, have you seen The Offer?
The Offer,
which about the Godfather.
Is that on Paramount?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best thing on Paramount. Honestly, yeah, people rave up Yellowstone, I don't know if you've heard that.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, yeah. My dad loves that.
Yeah.
But, The Offer is brilliant. The story about the Godfather, how it was made, and they have like celebrities, and there aren't the celebrities, but they have actors playing celebrities like Frank Sinatra, Marlon Brando. Oh my god, they're amazing. Like the proper, like the fellow who plays Al Pacino is like Al Pacino when he was younger.
Yeah.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The only frustrating thing about that is there'll never be a second series.
No,
just because it's all about getting it going.
Just self-contained.
So it's like, that's the biggest downside of it. It's brilliant, mate.
But it's a boss story.
Absolutely amazing, mate.
Yeah.
Things they have to do to make that film, mate, you just couldn't write it. Honestly, you just couldn't write it.
Yeah.
Like, the mafia heavily involved in, like, the making of the film. Shut the film down.
Oh, wait, but in a good way.
Them funding it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mate, all agendas. It's brilliant. Oh, mate, the actor who plays... The head of Paramount Studios is absolutely amazing. and I can't think of what his name is off the top of my head.
You'd know his
yeah,
face.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's yeah. dead good. But yeah, if you can do that, might be my recommendation. Do watch Everton, watch the offer.
Yeah, and I'll probably would like that, to be honest. Yeah.
Boss.
I know. Well, again, a few other things I've watched. So I finally got round to watching last night in Soho.
Oh, yeah. I want to see this.
Do you know what? I was really impressed. I wasn't expecting much. Mm. And it's obviously directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
So it tells the story of a fashion designer. And she's sort of like a recluse. So she lives like in the country with her grandma because her mum's died in the past. But there's a few creepy things. I think you'd like it. Mm. It's a psychological thriller.
but there's
a few like jump scares and a few like scary bits. But so like when she's living with her grandma, she sees her mum like a few times, like in the mirror and stuff like that. Obviously she's dead. And then so she goes to London, Soho, and she's trying to fit in with these like the students. But then every night when she goes to sleep, she's transported back to 1960s London. And she's in this woman, like she's taking the persona of this woman, can't remember her name. Yeah, it's got it in front of me. Who is she? Sandy. She takes the persona of Sandy, who's like an aspiring singer in 1960s London. So she's trying to get into it. And then when she goes back to like reality, like when she wakes up in the morning, she's then like using her influences to design like the dresses, and she starts changing the colour of her hair, like hair and stuff like that. And I won't say too much more about it, but it's really, really good. And
yeah, I proper fancy this film. Yeah. A few people have mentioned this to me.
It's like, how can I describe it? Like it's an Edgar Wright film. You can tell straight away. Like there's a couple of brilliant scenes where like, you know, it transitions from one thing to the next. So there's one scene where, and that's like when she's in the 1960s. It's the two actresses. So it's, hang on, let me get it right. It's Thomasin McKenzie plays Eloise. She's like in the modern day, and then it's Anna Taylor Joy who plays Sandy. So you probably know her face. I've never seen the first girl, but you know her face. So you'll see Sandy in the 60s, but then it'll be in the mirror, it'll be the other girl, the modern day one. So there's bits where you see, and it swaps and changes, it'll be her and then it'll sweep be her. But there's one scene, and I've seen how they've done it, right? And it's she's dancing with Jack, who's played by Matt Smith.
Ex-Doctor
Who.
And he's in House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon,
Damon Targaryen.
So she's dancing with him in this ballroom, and then, but it swaps from her to the other one. And it keeps swapping, but it was all done in camera.
It's
unbelievable. So they're spinning around, and like then they'll just swap like off camera, and it'll swap and it'll be here.
That's
fast. Unbelievable. Like brilliant. And it's just like Edgar Wright all over. He does stuff like that. It's good. It's who else? Dinah Riggs in it as well. She plays like the landlord of the house that Eloise moves into. Where all the creepiness is going on. It is. I think you'd really like it. No, I was very impressed with it.
What can I get it on and watch it on IMDb?
Good question. I don't know. I've got it on DVD if you want to borrow it.
If I can get it on Steam.
Not too sure. IMDb, looked at it. Let's have a look. 7.1. I think it's better than that.
But for that type of film, that's probably about right, though.
Yeah.
We spoke about this. They're very critical of horrors and psychological thrillers, you never see them getting a massive, like a 10, do you?
Very rare. So it's on, it's on Sky, you should be able to get
it. Right.
Sky
Cinema. Boss.
So there you go. Definitely give it a watch.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah. You got anything else you've watched?
I watched, to conclude really, so I didn't want to talk about it too much because obviously we're going to do our Christmas episode just that, probably in like 2 weeks anyway, won't we?
Yeah.
But what I watched, Carl, the other day,
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I watched that. So I'm sure we'll mention it in our Christmas movie specials and our, you know, and all that, and when we do like our Radio Times and stuff over Christmas, I love doing all that.
Boss.
You get me? I was saying to Beck yesterday, I said one of the best times is when like you do the Radio Times with Chat and Flicks. It's quality. It's just like a proper boss time. So I said, I'm sure it'll come up then, but just, this is like a film obviously that people often always say, have you seen this? Oh, you've not seen that? You've got to see that, and all that. And it sort of gets quoted, or not quoted, but referred back to in a lot of stuff, don't they? And they take things from it. And I thought it was decent. The only criticism I've got is because it was silly, obviously very silly, but considering it was 1989, it felt really dated.
Yeah.
we've had this conversation before about other stuff like classics, but yeah. It just felt dated. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
It's like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Like, after you said that, I think you've ruined it for me. It does feel dated now. It does feel dated, but like back in the day, it was amazing.
So you can appreciate it. Like, I'm still appreciating it. Like, I was watching it. Honestly, I watched it and thought, no, this is good. And Beck watched it with me and we're like, oh, it's decent. You know, get you in like those Christmas feels. You know what I mean? But then it was like, so dated.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. But yeah, I liked it. I'll talk about more about it in future weeks. But yeah, I did like it. Enjoyed it.
And I know we were talking about the other day. You haven't seen any of the other films, the vacation films? Because there's loads of them. I always liked as a kid European Vacation, when you go around Europe, obviously. Yeah. I remember watching that one a lot. But there's like National Lampoon's Vacation. I think that's the first one.
Yeah.
That was 83 that was made, and then European Vacation 86, so it is a sequel to that.
Oh, right.
It's the same family.
Yeah.
And yeah, Chevy Chase, I mean, Chevy Chase is just a comedy god.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Speaking of Chevy Chase, me and Lorna have been watching Community, which is on Netflix.
Oh, Richard likes that, doesn't he? Is that what Richard watches?
Yeah. So TV series from like 2009, finished in 2015, and it's literally about an adult college, community college. So Jeff Wingate, he's like an ex-lawyer, but what he'd done is he hadn't passed the bar. He'd like blagged it. So that's why he's got to go to back.
This is for law.
Yeah. So he was a brilliant lawyer, and then he found out he got grassed up by his mate. He was a lawyer. He wasn't a lawyer. So he had to go back to college in order to become a lawyer. Yeah. But he's brilliant at it. You know what I mean? And the first series was very standard sort of sitcom-y. Mm. You know, this happened this week.
Yeah.
But then series two, it's just gone dead weird. Like,
in a good way.
Like, surreal. It's gone surreal.
Yeah.
So, like, different episodes. Like, one episode, there's a... to get through the year, you get credits or whatever, for your courses. So, what the dean is like... And I'm not being stereotypically... Mm. He's like Campus Christmas. It's his character. He comes in with different outfits every day. Like, and he's... It's like an inside joke that he's like sort of in the closet.
Mm.
So they had this, like, the prize was to get credits towards your assignments. So he said, so we're going to have a paintball competition in the school.
Mm.
And it just turns into like a proper action film. And it's filmed like an action film. And they're all like, it's like the most serious thing ever.
Mm.
Like, it's play for laughs, but it's like, it's done serious, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. There was an episode the other day I watched, and it's set in a video game, so
it took a different platform, but it's basically evolved, hasn't it?
It certainly has, because it was a standard, like, if you've seen,
just
like,
the general,
yeah, like, if you've seen Superstore,
I've seen that.
The first series was like that, just very normal, like, it's funny, but it's like, it's a real, it's situation comedy. This has just like gone to the next level. So there's that one. There's like an episode, where they go into the computer game, so they're like, and it's all done, like, computer graphics. There's one where, oh, the Halloween episode was good. So they had a Halloween party, and the dean had bought in this cheap army surplus meat, but it turns out it was like infected with zombie whatever.
Yeah.
And so it ends up being like a zombie episode. And it's not too much giving it away. So at the end of it, the army come and they're gonna blow the whole place up, and then but they find a cure for it, like, just the last minute.
Yeah.
And then they wipe everyone's mind. So, like, people refer back to it. Remember the Halloween episode when we can't remember what happened? But really, like, it was a proper zombie film.
Yeah.
It was very weird. But the school just gets trashed.
Is this on Netflix?
Yeah. And the school gets trashed all the time. There's also another, like, separate community college, which is an air conditioning college, but it's part of this community college. And they've got this vice dean. It sounds weird. This community college has got all the money, because the vice dean is like amazing, like, air conditioning repairman, right? Yeah. And like, but they're making all the money, and the main community colleges is just like losing money all the time. But the college is only going because this air conditioning college is going off. But yeah, it's just great, and you get involved with the characters and the storyline, and it's like, you know what, it's really, really good.
It's highly rated, 8.5.
Yeah, I was looking at that then. there's an inside joke which I'm seeing now. We're about series three, I think series four, I think at the end of series three, we just finished. And there's like a hashtag, six series and a film.
Hmm.
And like, they've done six series of it.
So it's going to be a failure.
And they've, well, this, like, when was it finished? 2015 it finished. Mm. And there's always been rumours. And like, they announced it the other week, there's going to be a film.
Yeah,
like, but they talk about it in the programme.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. So, like, Abed, he's like a proper film nut. Mm. And he lives his life as, like, it's a film. Mm. And he says, like, we're all in a sitcom. It's like, yeah. he's self-aware that he's in a sitcom.
Yeah.
And he says, like, oh, this will probably be six seasons in a film. It's like a throwaway thing. Oh, but then it's become a hashtag now. But yeah, Community's great.
I'll start that.
Yeah, it's
weird. How long are the episodes?
Half an hour. It's just like little half an hour ones. Yeah. And as I say, the first season is very bog standard.
When did it start?
2009.
Yeah. It's still going now.
Yeah, and okay. Chevy Chase is in it. Donald Glover's in it. I didn't know some of the other cast. Alison Brie's in it. She was in Glow. That was she's brilliant. And then Kim Jong as well. He's he was in
Hangover.
He's good in it as well.
He's Mr. Chow, isn't he? In Hangover.
Yeah. He plays Chang in this one. So he's without giving too much away. He starts off as a teacher, Spanish teacher. He's good. He's a good character. Like, yeah, good.
Cool.
Well done. Anymore?
Yeah. No, that's me done.
Yeah. Brilliant. So thanks for listening, everybody. And any comments, want to let us know what you've been watching, get in contact on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or you can email us at chatandflixhotmail.com.
Com.
It is com. Yeah. All right. Take care. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Woo!